Bonjour, coaches and fellow split talkers. That intro will make sense in a little while, but big thanks for joining us again on the Talking Split podcast. My name's Rob Calder. I am the Coach Development Officer at Basketball Victoria. I'll be joined by all four of our high-performance coaches on today's podcast, which we'll get into in a little bit. As always, big thanks to our listeners who jump in via iTunes, Spotify, or any other podcast platforms you're listening on. As always, if you're able to like, share, retweet, rate, review, or subscribe to the show, we would really appreciate it on our end. If you want to reach out to any of us on Twitter, you can do so using the hashtag TalkingSplit or via our Twitter handles, which are at Rob Coulter, at Ash Arnott, at Coach NCB, at ZoeCar85, or at Ginny Screen, or obviously any of the Basketball Victoria email addresses. We are doing a bit of an Around the Grounds podcast today where we'll check in with the 4HP coaches and they'll update us on some of the resources they're using to pass the time at the moment in what is lockdown 2.0 in Victoria at the moment. Resources that they can use to pass the time in a positive light to make sure we come out of this in a better place. And we've also got something for our listeners to potentially interact with as well. Here is your chance to appear on the Talking Split podcast in the interest of sharing. What we'd like is our listeners to record themselves on audio and send it through, and we'll put it on the podcast for other coaches to listen into as well. We've got a guest on the podcast next week, but the following week we'll release all the submissions and we'll have it as a standalone podcast as a little bit of a resource for coaches so they can listen to what other people are listening to or read what other people are reading and all those kinds of things as well. So as a bit of a guide, here's what you'll need to provide. You'll need to give us your name and your club or association. You'll need to give us what you're reading at the moment, what you're watching at the moment, what you're listening to at the moment, and what you are doing for your own professional development at the moment. So you can send these to me via the Basketball Victoria email address. You can shoot that through in the direct messages on Twitter. The DMs are open. If it's as simple as, look, it's better for me to have a quick Zoom meeting with you, happy to do that as well. So whatever works best for you. So I'll give it a little bit of a kickoff before we get the HP coaches on, just so you know what we're sort of talking about. So for those of you that remember what it's like to go to pubs and clubs, I'm about triple parked at the moment, unfortunately, with books, but I've got two on the go at the moment. So Anxiety by Dr. Mark Cross is a great read, so I'm trying to learn a little bit more about what it means to be anxious, how you can potentially control that and work with it in life. So I think it's important for us as coaches to understand that our players may suffer from this. We may be dealing with fellow coaches that are dealing with this, and I think it wouldn't be a coach if they didn't have some level of anxiety that goes with it. And sometimes you can use that in a really positive light. Sometimes it can be really detrimental to your coaching as well. So it's just something that is a little bit different. And the other one I'm into at the moment is Soconomics by Simon Cooper and Stefan Szymanski. A little bit around the analytics of soccer and why things have worked in that space. Soccer is something that I'm bad at. I don't necessarily follow it, but I do get some interest in listening to other sports and finding out what works in theirs and are there any transferable skills that we can potentially learn that can come across to basketball. What I'm watching at the moment, I'm spending a lot of time watching under 12 and under 14 Euro basketball. So you can get that on the Basket Cantera website, YouTube links to all kinds of things. And just having a little bit of a look to see if there's a better way that we can coach our athletes. Certainly don't want to be closed off and say that we're doing all this wrong or this is the only way we can do things. There are obviously tons of different ways we can do things. So just having a little bit of a look at their style of play over there and just seeing if there are any transferables that we can potentially put across to our athletes at the moment. What I'm listening to is called the Training Ground Guru podcast, which is another soccer-based podcast. But they spend a lot of time talking to various coaches and managers about things like analytics, how their academies work within the soccer clubs over there. The long-term progression, having everyone working together for the good of the athlete and the club. So it's a little bit of a holistic approach. Again, like I said, soccer-based, but just something a little bit different as well that I sort of try and get my head around. There's only so much basketball I can listen to. So I just wanted to have something a little bit different in that space. So for my professional development, I'm trialing and failing at the moment to learn French, which is obviously the intro to the podcast. Just setting some time aside every day to go through the app and just work on a couple of things. I've got the major words down so far, so bonjour, merci, and croissant. After that, I'm a little bit scratchy, to be fair to say. So seeing if I can do something that can potentially help my work, but also a little bit of a personal thing too. I was lucky enough to be in France and wanted to just learn a little bit more about how I can interact with different coaches in particular in that league. So first up, we'll dial in Ginny Screen. And let's see.
Jenny.
Hey, Jenny. What's going on?
Oh, my God. That was brilliant. I wasn't expecting that. That actually is the most I've laughed, I think, since the stage two lockdown started. So thank you, Rob, for that.
Hey, you can find anything on YouTube. Hey,
yeah. Oh, we must be bored. Yeah, we must be bored.
We've hit that point, it'd be fair to say. We are into week two of the lockdown 2.0 at the moment. How's the wine cellar looking on your end at the moment?
It's pretty dry. We did restock, but we're envisioning our household to abstain from alcohol until the end of the 6 weeks. I know it's really bad, but I've convinced my husband, because at first he was like, yep, no worries, I'll support you, I'm not doing it. But now he's jumped on the bandwagon. So yeah, watch your space. I'm not expecting us to achieve that goal, but we'll try.
That's okay. You got to have goals, and there's only so much home delivery that people will have before they start going, geez, we come to this house a lot. So yeah, very easy. What's the landscape look like for your SDP athletes now? Obviously it's changed a little bit, but where are they at the moment?
Yeah, look, to be honest, it's all a little bit uneasy and frustrating, as we all can imagine, especially for the Victorian Metro kids. They're looking enviously over the fence to their country counterparts as they get to, you know, explore going back on court, which is exciting for them. But for the Metro, we've now got to sit down and plan how we go about the next block. And to be honest, it's been a really hard slog to come up with more innovative and creative ways to engage a platform of young athletes when there's no outcome at the end for them in terms of competitiveness or games. Or, you know, if you told me that when I was 13, 14, I'd be like, well, what's the point? So just trying to wrap our heads around that as a collective coaching cohort at in the high performance team, and hopefully we'll come up with some plan. But the goal is just ultimately in the next 6 weeks for these kids is just fun, engagement. Yeah, we want elite, but we just want to be engaged and have fun with these kids.
Yep, it sounds perfect in all honesty, because that is the hardest part, is just making sure they've still got that connection to basketball. And, okay, you can't play games, but there's still other things you can do. But how many times can you do it via Zoom as well before they just sort of start going, geez, I'm sick of clicking on this. And I'm sure everyone in the workplace as well was kind of at a point where it's like, man, just one more Zoom. So it is difficult, but I mean, the innovation side of things is really important. So it's a good way to keep the kids engaged. But what we are talking about today is what you're doing at the moment. So a couple of questions we had to begin with. So what are you spending some time reading at the moment? I know you're a reader. What are you reading at the moment?
A good question. I have been given a book by a colleague and a mentor of mine in another field, and it's called The Game Changer, The Art of Sports Science by Dr. Fergus Connolly.
Yep.
Yes, I know it's not a basketball book,
okay,
but it's a high-performance book, and something that I get fascinated by because of my, you know, background in strength and conditioning. And the other one is Surrounded by Idiots by Thomas Erickson. That's actually a really good book. It's not a dig at anyone. It's actually looking at behavior and human behavior and understanding the psychology and I guess how to deal with different types of personalities. And Dr. Erickson has done some great work in that space. So ultimately I'm understanding me.
Yep.
But also understanding the other people that I work with.
How do you go dealing with two books at the same time? Like, do you have any problems sort of flipping between the two, or is it just what the mood strikes you at the time and that's what you're going to go with?
Yeah, absolutely. It's because the topics are so different, it makes it easy just to switch from one to the other. I think if I was reading two books that were quite similar, I might get lost or marry up two different stories or that type of thing. So two different books, totally, unaligned. I mean, to be honest, they're all about relationships. The high performance one is about relationships and developing programs. But, you know, for me, it's all about how I can be better in the spaces that I work in. And obviously that's with athletes. And young athletes at that, but also interacting with my colleagues as well, which is really important.
Yep, awesome. I know you're not a news person, and to be honest, who would be at this point? It's not the most entertaining place to watch, but is there anything you're watching at the moment?
You took the words right out of my mouth. I'm not watching TV, and I haven't literally turned on the TV since March 19. I refuse to watch any form of mainstream media, and no Twitter as well. Even though I used to love Twitter, that's my instant news feed, and that too just got too negative. So I've removed anything negative, and I now spend most of my time watching documentaries of things that I'm interested in, so a lot of sporting teams or organisations, and I try and learn from, you know, engrossing myself in those kind of topics. And then for a bit of downtime, The Last Kingdom I hit, which I thought was awesome, and I'm excited there's a season 5 because who doesn't love an Uhtred? And Destiny is all. But the other one we just kicked off is the Yellowstone on Stan as well. So ebbs and flows between educational and also, you know, just chilling out and putting your feet up and watching something as well.
And finding that balance is really hard too, because it's all well and good to sit there and say, I'm going to invest in me and I'm going to do all this work for me. But sometimes you just need a dumb movie, TV show, or whatever the case, just to check out a little bit where you can pay attention, absolutely, but you're not dialing into a storyline.
Yeah, and I reached out to the other high performance coaches who all have a very different, appreciation of humour than I do in terms of their choices. Robbie, you know what I'm talking about.
I
don't have the same level of humour. You guys all throw out lines and comments of movies, and I'm like, guys, I don't understand. Like, Jenny, why haven't you watched this? And I've tried. I tried to watch The Other Guys, I think.
Yeah, not Will Ferrell's best work.
Yeah, I lasted maybe 10, 15 minutes and then I turned it off.
Yep.
I tried. See, that was the thing. I tried, but it just wasn't for me.
That makes perfect sense. Anything you're listening to at the moment? So podcasts or shows or anything like that?
Yeah, again, nothing negative. I'm removing the noise. I don't want noise in my life. I just want to try and, whilst the negative energy's there, I'm trying not to absorb it, which, to be honest, at times is really difficult, but I find if I meant to know anything, someone's going to tell me anyway.
Yep,
so
that's very
there's
true.
No point checking the social streams every 2 seconds. So for me, I don't even listen to the radio because I'm sick of the content and I'm not in the car that much either.
Yeah.
So, yep, podcast it is. Normally in the mornings when I'm out walking, and I love The Daily Stoic, a really good podcast, I think, especially in these circumstances, to challenge your thought processes and stuff, and that's by Ryan Holiday. And then Tim Ferriss, always love a bit of exploration. He does a lot of studies. I don't listen to all his stuff because they actually go for really long times, but depending on who he's interviewing, like he did one with Hugh Jackman last week, and it was phenomenal. Hugh Jackman is just, you know, I loved him for the person that he is as an actor and what he does on Broadway, but hearing what he does in his daily life and his routine just sums up why he is who he is. And then Making Sense is another one, and then F3 podcast, or the Focus 3 podcast as well. They're pretty much my go-to, but again, I'm open to anything really, but you got to grab me quick, because if it's just about, yeah, life's great, but I don't want to know about it. I just want something that is got something tangible and it's authentic and it's going to be productive in my application to life, both personally and professionally.
Yep. Are you a note taker when you listen to podcasts and the like? Like, would you write stuff down, or are you just like in one ear, out the other ear, and it may stick?
No, it's so true. That's really good. It's really hard when I'm walking because I'm swinging my arms, and sometimes I have actually stopped to take notes because I'm like, oh, that's brilliant. Like I heard, I listened to a TED Ed one the other day, and there was a lady, I think her name's Lucy Howe, and she was talking about resilience, and she lost her daughter in a car accident when she was 12, but she's actually a doctor in resilience, and she was talking about emotions, and we can have emotions. We've got to learn how not to be emotional. And I thought, oh my God, that's brilliant. Clearly that wasn't me in the last 7 days. I threw many a tantrum with stage 2 lockdown. But, yeah, just little things like that. So I do like to take notes. If I found when I'm out on a walk, the podcast is just too good to let go of, I'll listen to it again and then I'll take notes as well.
Makes sense. Makes sense. Anything, and you've sort of answered it already, but is there any sort of professional development you're doing in this time that's sort of helping?
Look, The one I want to do, and I haven't, and you're going to be on me for this one, is Sports Code, because I haven't paid for my license yet, which that's one I really want to in terms of coaching, because that's probably my biggest limitation. And, you know, I love Excel and stuff, so I'm hoping it won't take me that long to, you know, catch up on. That's on the next to-do list. But the rest of the PD is actually just on me, really, in this time, and reflecting on the things like that I'm doing, what's working, what's not. And for me, I think they're all kind of, even though they're personal development, I still think it's professional development, because if I'm not taking care of myself, then how am I able to, you know, take care of other people that are I'm either working with or are looking up to me in some form of capacity. So, yeah, I think a bit of both, really.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes perfect sense. And now's the best time to do it. I mean, there's very few distractions, I suppose, in particular if you're turning the TV off and just doing your thing. Now is a good time to do that sort of stuff for coaches too. So it's great that you are looking into that area. Any advice for players or coaches that might be listening just to get through this?
Yeah, don't try and be perfect. You know, I can sit here and say, yeah, I'm doing all this amazing stuff, but trust me, I have days where I'm just done. I think it's when you are done, finding someone that can, I guess, make you laugh is a good one, because I think laughter removes a lot of negative emotion and you just forget about stuff as well. And staying physically active for me during this whole period. And yes, I know I'm a physically active person by nature, but I have actually made a point of getting up at 6 o'clock every morning in the last 3 months now, Monday to Friday. And I just get up for the sunrise and that's my walk. I walk for an hour. It doesn't have to be quick. It's just to get out amongst it. And that's a really good time for me to start the day. So, yeah, and then all the emotions, sit with them. Don't try and push them away. If you're upset, be upset. All I say is just don't unpack there, process it, and then come up with solutions to get you through. And when you can't, just reach out to those people that care about you.
Excellent. Fantastic, Jenny. Big appreciation for jumping on. You've done very well.
Bye-bye, Jenny.
Thank you very much, and we will talk to you soon. All right, we'll dial in our next high-performance coach.
Bees make the honey and yo-yo, Onyx yo-yo biscuits.
Goodness, what a biscuit.
What a biscuit. Ash Arnott, welcome back to the podcast.
Robbie, good to be here. About time you brought some energy and some effort for when I'm on the podcast. So that's the type of entrance we like.
Mate, you're the only person that's had two individual intro musics.
And let's be honest, probably not enough. Need more. Look, the listeners want more, Robbie. Give them what they want.
I'll see what I can do for you on that one. We do have a fair bit of downtime to go through at the moment. I'll see what I can rip off YouTube and throw out there. You'd be living the dream at the moment. You're sort of half country, half metro. Does it depend on where the border's at as to which one you're calling yourself at the moment?
Yeah, well, where I live is country. Technically, the metro falls under the metro, but I live the country life on the farm. Unfortunately, I have to live with the same banter that I deal with in the office like I do at home. Dad's constantly making jokes to all his farmer mates that I didn't know at a farm. That I lived on a farm until a couple of years ago when I walked out the back door. But it just makes me feel a little bit like I'm at work, working with Jenny, Zoe and Coops, just making fun of me. So, well, yeah.
There's a lot to be said for consistency and routine.
Yeah, it's such that routine is still the same.
It's very handy. You've been living the farm life, I'm assuming. You've been working, you know, picking stuff out of the ground.
No, I don't quite do that. I do mow the lawns though. Okay. And before everyone giggles, our lawns do take around 3.5 hours to complete. So that's normally a nice Saturday morning job for me.
Just the hand mower? That wouldn't be a ride-on or anything like that, would it?
Well, we upgraded. So if you do follow me on the social media, so I was pretty excited when the old man decided to upgrade the lawnmower. We did have a slower one that was actually taking me around 4.5 to 5 hours. But upgraded lawnmower, it's the little things in life that make us happy, Robbie, and I'm over the moon.
Excellent. Sounds very good. So what we're going through with the high performance coaches is just a little bit of what they're doing over this next 6 weeks. So We had Jenny on earlier, and one of the big things we're looking at the moment is there anything you're reading at the moment that would be of use to any of our coaches out there?
Yeah, well, funny enough, Robbie, I wasn't a massive reader before this, but last lockdown I gave myself the challenge to read as much as I can, and some of the books that I managed to get through was one which is it was an absolute brilliant read, The Resilient Project. Just really hit hard right in that moment with everything that we were going through, the ability to find gratitude and understand how lucky we are and the way we are living. Yes, we're all going through the same battles and we have our ups and downs, but just giving a new perspective of knowing that what we do have and being thankful for that. And that's, you know, obviously our health, friends and family, and obviously being able to work in a sport that keeps on giving. And then I found a really fun reading, the Gridiron Genius. So yeah. I decided to go and dive into another sport in football. And that book was written by Michael Lombardi, who's worked for, who he says, two of the most successful coaches in the NFL, in Bill Belichick and Bill Walsh. That was a really interesting read for me, just understanding the ins and outs of NFL and the way he saw things and the way the great coaches there operated and how they saw the game. So that was really interesting.
Yeah, awesome.
And then a nice classic in John Wooden. I thought I'd go a little bit old school. It was a smaller book and easy read, but that book was just a lifetime of observations and reflections on and off the court. That was really cool just to see how one of the greatest college coaches, if not the greatest, with 10 national championships, how he operated and just it was really interesting to see how disciplined he was. Huge on culture, but it wasn't that he just preached culture. It was the behaviours that he expected. But not only expected, it was the behaviours that he held himself accountable to. So really cool reading that. And I am obviously, we're 5-6 days into this lockdown. So just started What Best of the Best by Kevin Eastman.
Yep.
So diving into another basketball book. And that's been really cool. I've run out of post-it notes. I've literally put a post-it note on every page because it feels like every paragraph that he writes hits home somehow to me and something that I could apply into not only our HP program, but when I am coaching a team to myself, something I could apply straight away. So reading away, Robbie, reading away. Not also, bad.
What's
since
the,
I read my first book last year.
Picture Story, wasn't it?
It was Where's Wally's collection. So I'm pretty over the moon that we're now going to books without pictures in it.
Excellent. Is the goal with that sort of stuff, are you reading for a bit of a release and it's just something to do on the side, or are you looking for some professional development within that as well?
A bit of both.
Yep.
I think the release was, through all my experiences and meeting people, the one common trait was they all read. And I know it sounds, we're making fun and I like to make fun of myself, but they all, the knowledge that they all got from just reading books. And so a bit of that release was, okay, I want to accomplish this goal. I want to get into reading. And what it has done though, it's given me an extra thirst to continue to learn, continue to read. And now I'm finding books that, give me some professional development. Now I've only touched on three or four there, but in that lockdown, I was able to finish 8 books. So I've all of a sudden got this thirst every day what I try to do is 2 times a day, I put my phone away, I start a timer, and I'll read anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes 2 times a day. So smashing through them, and you start to one, you feel like it's a checklist. You're doing something in your day, you're making the most of it. But 2, the development and what you're learning becomes really important. So just a bit of both, I guess. Awesome. That was a long-winded answer, but
That's good. And it becomes a habit, really that thirst for knowledge and trying to find out more things about various things. Like I joke about it all the time, but there's only so much basketball we can hear before it's like, man, I don't know what I need to filter out. What can I take from something else? Whereas looking into other sports is a really valuable one as well. And even like the Resilience Project's one I've read as well. and it's a phenomenal read. Like, it honestly, I think I knocked that thing over in less than a week. And I've never done that before with any book in my life. So I really do recommend it for any coaches. But sometimes you need something that is not necessarily sport related to go and listen or watch and read.
Oh, and the great thing about the Resilient Project is I was chuckling to myself. I was literally laughing out loud with some of the stories he was telling. And those emotions, I'd never had that from reading a book. So that's where a love started to come into it there, where you started feeling different emotions. You were sad. You started laughing out loud. I know it sounds crazy and a bit silly. There's probably all these people out there going, what is Ash on about? Like, everyone knows that you can get that from reading, but this is something very new to me. And now loving life, about it.
And big shout
out. Call me an academic, Robbie.
We'll call you something, if nothing else. But big shout out to Don Monossi, obviously, for hooking us up with the Resilience Project book as well. He flicked that one onto us as part of a bit of a book club, and it's been very helpful for both of us, obviously, from the sounds of things.
Thanks, Dom.
Good job. What are you spending time watching at the moment?
Yeah, well, I am a visual person. And going back to on your point, Robbie, is we do sometimes tend to take in too much information when it comes to basketball. So I actually took a different approach. I didn't watch the thousands of clinics that were ran. I was very particular on who I learned from and who I watched. Now, there was a number of Victorian coaches that did do a presentation on the worldwide scale there. So for a few of them, I did tune in to make sure I showed support. And I always take notes when I am watching a clinic. But I tried to go away and watch different sports. So the former high performance coach, Mike Zeppel, him and I were chatting earlier that lockdown, and he was watching some football documentaries and really discussed this great one he came across, and it was Nick Saban and their preseason training. I believe it was 2018, their fall training right before their season started. And it was really awesome just watching the first couple of episodes, watching Nick Saban and how he operated with his coaching staff and how he interacted with his players. And we started taking some points and analysing the differences between basketball and football. And it gave us a really great chance to see what we could steal from other sports. Nathan Cooper Brown and I have been discussing soccer a lot lately with yourself, Robbie, in the office. And we came across a great documentary on Prime, which is All or Nothing. So that's been really fun and interesting to see what that's like and watching the Manchester City, how they operate and the head coach there, Pep, I'm going to butcher his last name, Guardo, is it?
Guardiola.
Guardiola.
Yep.
That's close.
I'm pretty impressed you got Pep right.
Yeah, well done, Ash. Well, I'll take that win. So, just been watching a few of those, Robbie, and then making my way through a few Netflix documentaries. It's funny, I've been going away from movies and putting on shows where I can learn something, take away from it. And there's that thirst for learning again. So the Netflix documentaries, they're always coming out. There's been obviously the one, The Game Changer, about diets and a few other controversial documentaries, but I found interesting in the sporting world that makes you think and go over your processes and procedures and make sure that you're doing everything correctly as well. So that's been really interesting and taking up my nights while I work on the computer. And then lastly, I don't mind chucking on a TED Talk every day. And there's been one that really, a friend of mine passed it on to me and said, this really hit home with me. I suggest you have a listen, Ash. And it was Becoming Mentally Strong. And it goes for about 15 minutes. And just little TED Talks here and there that have been really awesome. Just anytime you're having a bad moment or you're down, which we all have through this lockdown where you're lacking motivation or you need just something to go, I need to flip my mindset. I found little TED Talks like that have been really cool. Visually, you listen, it gauges my attention because I am a visual person, but when they start talking, it really starts to hit home. And next thing you know, I'm out of bed and getting on with my day. So that's the few little things I've been watching. And then I chuck on a stupid comedy every now and then to make sure I'm laughing every day.
Good way to do it. Good way to do it. Anything you're listening to at the moment?
Well, because I do live so far away, and every now and then I have to go for a drive, or if I am mowing the lawns, I do chuck on a few podcasts. There's a few. Talkie Split, of course, never miss an episode, all about it.
You've done well.
I do tend to fast forward when I speak, but for the rest of everybody else, there's always a few gems that you can take out.
Just before you get going, number one. Why do you fast forward through your own stuff?
Because I hear my voice enough during the day and I don't want to put myself through more pain. So gotcha. I try to fast forward, but that's all right. I'm sure there's other people that feel the same out there.
Yep.
But now a few that I've really jumped into and got this suggestion from Jack Fleming. It was the Eddie Jones podcast, and the former Wallabies head coach, now coaching England rugby. He started up his podcast. It's around about 6 or 7 episodes, I believe, released. And they've been really awesome, just hearing how he talks about his coaching journey and how he learns and how he's changed things over the years. So really cool to hear his story. The Focus 3 podcast, which was a suggestion by Peter Lonigan to me. So that's the successful Urban Meyer of Florida football and Ohio State. So he has some really good gems that he talks about, and the way he discusses culture and behaviours and expectations have been really cool to listen to. The Flying Coach, Pete Carroll, and I can't believe I've gone blank there. Yeah. Steve Kerr. I had a moment, but that's all right. But yeah, Pete Carroll and Steve Kerr podcast, that's been really, really cool to listen to. And again, their thought processes around, and it just shows you that outside the box thinking, how it helps, especially when dealing with those pros, but how it can help you build your own coaching. And then Nathan Cooper-Brown, last week when we were allowed on court, suggested a new one, the coaching culture. So just been flicking my way through that podcast and picking out things that I feel relate to me. So that's been really cool as well. I have multiple podcast shows on my phone, but I don't have enough time in the day to get through them all. So right now, to make sure I'm fully engaged and taking everything I can out of each episode I listen to, I try to find ones that relate to me instead of forcing myself through them all. Because you just burn out on podcasts if you try to listen to every single one and take notes. So right now, just finding the ones that I think, you know, relate to me or something I could learn about, and chuck them on, and maybe two parts. You know, I have to put one on in the morning and finish it off at night, or, you know, if I am on a long car ride, I may chuck on a song every now and then and belt that out and go back to the podcast just to re-engage.
Sounds good. It's carpool karaoke with Ash Arnott would be an interesting experience.
That's when I don't fast forward, Robbie. I make sure I listen to every tune.
I like it. Is there anything else you're doing for your professional development at the moment?
Yeah, don't laugh at this one, Robbie, but I'm trying to learn Spanish.
That's okay. I'll put mine down as I'm trying to learn French.
There we go. So, yeah, a very good friend of mine, she started learning Spanish, and I heard her speak, and I thought, that's really interesting. We obviously took the trip to Spain with BB last year, and it was lucky that we had Mike Torres to help me through with all the translating, the poor thing. He had to translate Bogan to English, then English to Spanish. So he had a tough time. But it just, once I saw her working on a Spanish, I straight away was like, that's actually really cool. And I want to go back to Spain. I want to continue to explore Europe. And so I downloaded an app and started. So I'm about 14 weeks into learning some Spanish. Let's just say I have a long way to go, but it's been fun. I spend about 15 to 20 minutes every day and do a couple of levels, and I'm making strides, but we're getting there.
Excellent.
A few other things. Been watching NBL games and just practicing doing a scout, learning how to, continue to build on my knowledge of a scout, and just watching multiple games and learning how to break down and what am I looking for and what are the kill points, and I've just reached out to a couple of coaches and asked what they look for when they are scouting, and how can I implement that back into my own processes of when I'm watching a team. And so that's been fun. It does take a lot of time, and which has led me to my next thing I've probably been working on, and that's using my time more efficiently. It's something that I think we all wish we did better, but just noticing, you know, we've got so many distractions around us. How do we knuckle down? How do we learn and teach ourselves to put those distractions away and focus on our work and what we're doing right there? And then, so especially through this lockdown period where I'm at home, I have the TV in the next room, I have the games outside, I have the golf net out the backs. So how do I make sure that I'm focused on what I'm doing and working efficiently? And let's be honest, Robbie, I'm not doing great at it right now, but it's still something I want to focus on this next 6 weeks.
It's all right. Always room for growth.
That's right. And then the last two things, this one, as everyone knows, I'm quite a high-energy guy. So learning how to control my emotions, and through this lockdown, doing a lot of meditation, just a little moment here, not trying to sit outside for 40, 50 minutes and get in touch with the environment around me, but just learning when I am maybe having a down day or feeling a little bit anxious here and there, I spend 3 to 4 minutes, catch my thoughts, catch my breath, and then get back into it. And hopefully when we are back into our normal lives and everything's back to a fast-paced environment, I've learned a few little tricks here and there to be able to control my thoughts, control my emotions, and my favorite word right now is stoic. Become a little bit more stoic in high pressure situations. So that has been a journey, Robbie, that I've gone from 1 minute to 2 minutes controlling my thoughts, which has been good. And then it's a bit like when a butterfly comes past, it catches your attention. And so we got some progress there. And the last one's note taking. How many of us, we hear gems and we hear really cool stuff, whether it's a documentary, we're reading a book and we go, that's really cool, and then we leave it there. So trying to do a better job of, hey, that's really cool, and carrying a notebook with me, a little small one that can fit in your pocket, and writing that down. Some days I'm phenomenal. Other days the book stayed next to the bedside table. So just practicing to become that more of a habit. But they're the little things, Robbie. I'm giving myself a lot of things to do in a day.
Yep.
Checklists, they're small. Some of them take 2 to 3 minutes to do, but trying to create better habits and give my each day a purpose. I think that's the big thing right now is while we are dealing with different, I guess, ups and downs of every day, is what makes me get out of bed in the morning, and all these little PDs and things I look forward to, that's given me a purpose of every day. So I jump out of bed with a smile and go to sleep with a smile.
And it's in a sense of accomplishment too. Like, you want to be able to tick things off a list. Like, there's a real a good feeling about doing that sort of stuff where you've accomplished something during the day, whether it be a podcast or a meditation or learning a bit of Spanish. It's something you've done and you've achieved. So you look back over the course of a day and it's like, damn, I actually got a lot done. Like, it may not seem like it at the time, but you can look down that list and go, yeah, actually, today's a pretty successful day.
And that's it. You're trying to squeeze every part of the day. You don't want to look like, I don't want 2021 Ash to look back to me now and go, what were you doing? Yep. What were you doing, kid? You know, you wasted some really good opportunities to get better. And as leaders within our programs, we're constantly preaching to our athletes, like, we're going to be throwing obstacles every day of our lives. Welcome to life. It's not fair. This year, unfortunately, we've all gone through the same, this is not fair, and we wish we could be back on the court and working together. But if I'm not practicing what I preach, how are we supposed to lead a program properly? How are a kid supposed to buy in and go, if they look at us and go, well, they're not doing it.
Yep.
So our job is to try and be as positive as possible. Let's squeeze a little bit of each day out as we can, and we'll build there. And hopefully our future selves look back and go, you know, thank you for doing that. We're all in, we're all growing and growing to successful places, and and we can be great role models for the ones coming through to say, hey, those guys did it. They had to deal with all these crazy things in their life. We have no excuse. How are we going to get better?
Right. Sounds great. So, great advice for a lot of coaches out there as well, that you know, take a leaf out of Ash's book and become more stoic.
Stoic. People are going to laugh when they hear that, those two words, Ash and stoic, in the same sentence, Robbie.
Mate, thanks very much for jumping in today. A lot of advice for coaches and hopefully some resources too, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you, Robbie. Cheers, pleasure mate. To be here. We'll see you soon.
All right, we'll jump back on the horn. We are now in with... Let's see how this plays out.
What's my theme music?
Nathan Cooper Brown, welcome back to the podcast.
Oh, it's good to be here, Rob. Thank you for that. That's not only for the absolutely apt choice of intro music, but the nostalgia that comes with it.
Oh, huge, isn't it? Like, it's honestly, we looked this up on YouTube and it's like, oh, you know, what can we get for Coops? And we're flicking through some stuff and Zoe had it and she's like, hang with Mr. Cooper. I'm like, oh, this is brilliant. We played it and it's just like, oh, this is Saturday morning's TV when you wake up and you go from, you know, Saved by the Bell into Hanging with Mr. Cooper, into like the Wonder Years. It's just, yeah, the throwbacks are huge.
Oh, you just ratted off why I didn't get anything done during those periods as a teenager or a tween or whatever I was at that time.
Absolutely. Mate, how's lockdown been treating? You managed to get Indy to start playing FIFA or Madden with you or anything like that, like two-player co-ops?
Yeah, look, you know, it's funny. It's almost like a night and day experience. The first lockdown, I honestly just didn't deal with it particularly well. Got knocked around a bit and dealing with all the things that everyone else has been dealing with, and really kind of chose to use that time, obviously, to spend time with my family and my daughter, which has been really special because she's between or kind of approaching two. So there's a lot of really cool things happening in with her growth. And we've bonded and that's been fantastic, but it was very much kind of me time, almost made it like a mini holiday.
Yep.
In the fact that I was so detached from our sport that investing in the game was really hard, was really difficult. So decided to have a bit of a break, play some PlayStation, you know, spend time with my wife, you know, watch movies, do all those sorts of things and kind of refresh. And funny enough, I'm really lucky it's worked. So coming back into this second ISO, I'm a lot more motivated. Yeah, awesome. Feeling really good. You know, got a bit of a goal around, you know, reading and watching and listening and some other things around my own, you know, kind of PD that have been really positive. So, yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
This should go well, and it's almost like I sent you some show notes and you've got a rough idea on what we're talking about. So this is going to go very, very well. But what are you reading at the moment?
I'm finally wrapping up The Barcelona Way by Damien Hughes, which I highly, highly recommend for all coaches out there. And for anyone who doesn't know the premise of the book, it's basically a deep dive into the culture of FC Barcelona, heavily evolved around Pep Guardiola and his time there. Yep. Talks a lot about La Masia, their youth academy and the attachment to the professional team. Really, really good read, especially for coaches that are looking to explore furthering the culture within their team. It's got some great practical exercise at the end of each kind of segment or chapter for coaches to kind of take away. So that's been a good one. And then I bought two books recently. Actually today, that I'm looking forward to diving into. One was recommended to me by Peter Lonergan. We had a really good chat the other day. That one's Stillness is the Key by Ryan Holiday. So just to get myself back into some mindfulness and kind of self-assessment. And then the other one, I'd
been looking at for a long time. And then Ash Arnott read it and he's like, yeah, I read it, get it, was Gridiron Genius by Michael Lombardi. So, and you could probably see that a bit of my theme at the moment around PD is trying to get away from basketball a little bit and explore other sports, explore other avenues, see how other people are doing things. And and then one, it's carrying dust on my shelf at the moment is Grit by Angela Duckworth.
Yeah, okay.
And I can't believe I still haven't cracked the cover yet. So once I put the Barcelona Way down, that'll be my next one.
It's tough to put down that book. Like it's, I heard Damien Hughes talk on a podcast, the Weight Champions podcast. He was on that and spoke about everything that goes on and the culture inside FC Barcelona. And it's incredible the amount of impact just a couple of people in particular have had on that whole organization, like Johan Cruyff. Like it's the impact and the lasting legacy he's left. Even years after he's walked in the door in that place, like as a player, then as a manager, and the impact of additional coaches down the road, like everyone still plays that way. They still talk about the Cruyff turn and things like that. It's incredible the impact one person has had.
Yeah, it really is. And one of the things I like about the book too, if I relate it to James Kerr's legacy, which is obviously about the All Blacks, and I think a lot of our coaches have probably read that one. But again, another one that I highly recommend, but a lot around the culture of the All Blacks is being a Kiwi and potentially having Maori heritage.
Yep.
And so trying to recreate that sort of culture on the back of reading that book, it's a little bit more difficult.
Yep.
Whereas when you're talking about the Barcelona Way, yes, there's the strong connection to the Catalan people and the club, but you're also talking about, you know, 100 million euro athletes coming into a very small city and club, and then how do they amalgamate those and how do those other people like you're talking about help connect them to what they're trying to do?
Yeah, and like we are talking $1 million transfers plus, like, but they will also lose a player that they have spent millions of dollars on because they don't fit, and they'll wear it and they'll say, look, you're just not what we need, and they'll bite the bullet on losing millions of dollars, but they know what they need.
Yeah, it's a great point. And when you're talking about these billion-dollar companies, really, organizations, to cut an $80 million player or 80 million euros because of how much they value the culture, it definitely puts the onus back on you, the reader, and especially if you're a coach, to think about, okay, well, how much am I putting up with? Was that player the right person to stick with, or should we maybe cut ties with them? So, it's a great read.
It is. I've got. I've just picked up not too long ago The Real Madrid Way.
Not Damien
Hughes. It's a different author, but I'm about triple parked on books at the moment, and I haven't quite got there yet. But I'll flick it on once we get it. Good suggestions there. Is there anything you're watching at the moment? So, what are you spending your time watching?
Obviously a lot of people would have seen a lot of the free clinics that have been making their way around, as the world deals with the pandemic, but a lot of the times and so on didn't work because a lot of stuff's happening overseas. But the head coach of the Erie Hawks in the G League, a guy by the name of Ryan Pannone, and I recommend to our coaches out there, he's a good Twitter follow. Yep. Does a really nice job of sharing the game. He's got a great mindset around basketball, being an American coach, but loves to see the game, internationally.
Yep.
And it was as simple as, connecting with him on Twitter and saying, hey, do you have some footage from, a couple of clinics? He wrote back and said, what do you want? And I said, what do you have? Yeah. And there came an email of probably about 10 to 13 clinics that have happened recently, around spacing, off-ball movement, international trends, a couple of NBA guys talking about scouting reports. So some really cool presenters talking on some relevant topics. And so that's my watching list at the moment is diving into that. So obviously twofold is, keep diving coaches and go look for those clinics. But keep reaching out to coaches in this time. It's a great way to find some resources.
Well, especially with social media, like everyone is so accessible now. Like 20 years ago, you used to try and hope that you could send them a letter or manage to catch them on the phone somewhere if someone else had their phone number. Now it's so simple. Like it's really easy to just get a hold of whoever you need.
Yeah, it really is. And I've been so pleasantly surprised at how many coaches and people want to share the game and want to talk. And, you know, at no stage did any coach come back and say, who do you coach?
Yep.
Or, you know, who are you associated with? You know, I could have been any level coach, but they were more than happy to help. So that's been one. The other person I've dived into as well, and you can obviously get a little bit of a theme here attached to my FIFA work, is Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah. Okay.
And obviously, you know, he's experiencing a lot of recent success, has had success at Dortmund, now at Liverpool. And for me, it was, okay, I want to know a little bit more about this guy. What's making him so successful? Why is he so good? So I've gone into a couple of YouTube rabbit holes.
Yep.
And found a couple of cool things there. So that's always a nice way to spend my time too.
Awesome. No, it's good advice. And it's interesting because I know I spoke about it and Ash spoke about it as well, but looking outside basketball for information, and soccer is one that is a fairly relatable sport in regard to being a world game. We're not just dealing with what we deal with in Australia. We are looking internationally at this point. So it's a really good one to have a look at as well. So highly recommend wandering down that soccer rabbit hole. It's great for coaches.
There's some good stuff too for anybody who has Prime, Amazon Prime. So they have their All or Nothing series.
Yep.
I don't know if any of the other coaches have spoken about that, but the Manchester City one's fantastic.
Yep. What's the name of the coach from Manchester City?
Pep Guardiola.
Okay. So you're a step ahead of Ash. He had Pep and then struggled after that. So no problems at all there.
Okay. Well, also too, if you read the Barcelona Way first and then watch All or Nothing Man City, you'll see that a lot of the architects in the front office, Pep actually took with him to Man City, which I think is quite interesting. But also the All Blacks have an All or Nothing series on Prime. The Brazilian national soccer team, all giving some really cool, you know, insights into how these top sporting organizations go about things.
Yep, phenomenal series. Like, highly recommend it to anyone that's able to get on that. Anything you're spending some time listening to at the moment?
Yep, always into my podcasts. Can't help myself. What have I listened to most recently? Listened to the Eddie Jones podcast on the back of Jack Fleming's recommendation. And that was a fantastic episode. Really short and sharp. It's only about 27 minutes. This particular episode was had two important sections. One was on choosing your coaching staff, which was really interesting about how the way he went about that. And then also on kind of creating his own coaching development plan, you know, the accountability of how he's getting better. That's one I recommend. Listen to The Talent Equation. There was an episode there talking about German football, and in particular on the back of losing a couple of World Cups, they had a bit of a restructure.
Yep.
And that was also pretty cool at how they were doing that. So Talent Equation, Eddie Jones podcast, Basketball Immersion Pod, obviously the basketball pod, that's a staple. But sifting a little more through that one at the moment to find some more relatable guests. I recommend the Sports Psych Show with Dan Abrams for anybody who hasn't listened to that one before. That's a really cool listen. Way of Champions Pod, I'm sure you've talked about. They just do some really great stuff.
Yep, unreal resource.
Oh, actually, the Coaching Culture podcast. I don't know, have you guys spoken about that one as well?
Not yet.
Yeah, that's a really cool one. One, because the guys that do it are actually basketball coaches, so a lot of the stuff connects to basketball. But it's also, you know, about usually 30-minute episodes, so a little bit punchier for anyone who needs to get through them a little bit quicker. Yep. You know, maybe it's only half an hour drive to work. And they've just gone through a three-part series with Alan Keane and Mark Bennett.
Okay, yep.
And again, some names there I'm not sure if people are familiar with, but Mark Bennett is basically a coach's coach. He's got a system around culture and feedback, which is really great, worth a deep dive. And then Alan Keane is actually one of the under 17, under 16 head coaches with the English yep. national team, basketball team. And those two have worked together now. So you not only get the coach of the coach, but then you also get the coach and how, you know, the whole thing kind of mixes.
Yeah, great dynamic.
So that one, I would highly recommend. That is the Coaching Culture podcast.
Excellent.
Yeah.
A couple of great resources for our coaches. And, I mean, you've probably answered a lot of this already, in fairness, but what are you working on for your own professional development at the moment? Is there anything you're doing?
Yeah, actually, on the back of that Eddie Jones podcast, I thought, okay, I feel like I'm in need of a little bit more hands-on feedback, you know, from people that I know and respect. So the first thing that I did was I just got onto my emails and started connecting with people and said, hey, look, I know you're probably busy, but is there anything that you could offer me right now that might help me be a better coach? And I tell you what an amazing exercise that's been. And and obviously you were one of those people, and you know, I was really appreciative of the feedback you were able to offer. Zoe, I also spoke to Ash and Jenny. I'm still waiting for those guys. So
Metro man, guys, like they're locked down. Like it's when they got locked down, their email got locked down as well.
Yeah, that's it. Greg Vanderjack was another one. That was really cool. Probably one of the best exercises was Peter Lonergan kind of got back to me and just said, hey, there's something I've been doing with a lot of coaches overseas, something I've formalized. It's a little bit of an interview, but basically the idea was he just asked me some questions and allowed me to almost self-assess and ask some questions of myself. And that was an incredibly rewarding experience and something I'm building on at the moment. So that's been the focus of looking internally, trying to find the areas that need work.
Yep.
And going from there.
Yeah, awesome. Sounds like a great resource for a lot of coaches. I mean, you've got downtime now. You can probably do that. So would recommend that to a lot of coaches as well. Any advice for any of your coaches currently in lockdown at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, the big one, and I know everybody's saying this, but any way you can create some sort of schedule or routine is just going to help you. I think it's the other thing too about we talk about going to the gym, like it's easy to go to the gym with a friend. You got a spotter, you got someone there, you know, that kind of helps motivate you. Also a great way to help with your PD, you know, just connecting with someone on a regular basis, sharing ideas, you know, start a WhatsApp group or a text thread and just throw stuff up and try and engage with other people that will spark you to better yourself.
That's fantastic advice. Coops, thanks very much, mate. We'll let you go and do what you got to do, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Pleasure, mate. Thanks for having me.
Thanks to Coops for jumping on there. The last one requires no dial-in, but because we have the sound effect, we'll use it anyway. Zoe Carr, welcome to the Talking Split podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm just hoping that Simon's not in the backseat.
Probably just given a whole bunch of listeners the worst 5 hours of their life, because that will go around in their head without question. Like, if there's one thing the Wiggles do, it's the earworm, where it just gets in there and you cannot get it out. Big thanks for jumping onto the podcast as well. Now we are in week 15 of ISO Life and we haven't killed each other yet. That is a massive progress.
Yeah, well, not so much progress as I think just achievement.
Achievement? We'll put it down as achievement, no problems. What's the landscape looking like for the country SDP athletes at the moment?
Yeah, well, we're in a bit of a unique situation in that our country athletes are able to return to court, so they're still in the orange 50 level of return to play. So we've been spending a lot of time planning and getting everything ready. They'll only be allowed to attend one session per week for the first 2 weeks as we build them back into high performance and have them, you know, reacclimatized to what it's like to have they'll have sessions with their clubs. It might be domestic basketball has started back up in some regions, so adding that extra session, whilst it doesn't sound like a lot, we need to make sure that we tread lightly with it. So ensuring we've got plans for all our athletes, and then we have some unfortunate athletes that are in lockdown areas and won't be able to participate, so they will be absorbed by the online Zoom sessions as well. So everybody's still getting a touch point with the high performance program.
Awesome. Be some very happy athletes and coaches that are able to get back on court at the moment. So it's great that you guys are able to do so. As we've been asking everyone else, is there anything you've been reading in this downtime?
Yes. Well, I finished very quickly, which is not normal for me. I'm not a great reader, but the Resilience Project I finished, which I think has been mentioned a couple of times.
Yeah, Ash Jumpot.
It is something I would recommend to anybody that's working with children especially, but anybody. If you're working in a business that deals with people, it's really important. But what I'm into now is, it's called Quiet by Susan Cain, and it's basically about the power of introverts in a world that can't stop talking. So a lot of athletes that I have encountered over my first 12 months here in BV, we have a lot of introverted females in particular, and just trying to find some ways to, I guess, tap into that, because whilst I think that there's a common misconception that athletes that are introverted won't have the ability to progress to the higher levels, but if you look at somebody like our Opals captain, Jenna O'Hay, she is the epitome of an introvert, and she's incredibly successful. She just knows how to take care of herself and what she needs to be successful. So just trying to find some strategies, I guess, to be able to tap into those athletes and find better ways to help, I guess, help them along in their journey.
So what sort of a reader are you? Are you someone that can just go and knock out four chapters straight away? Are you someone that takes notes or uses highlighters, or what sort of you?
No, I can't knock out four chapters straight away, because unfortunately, I don't know what it is. Hopefully I'm not alone, but if I read for too long, I fall asleep. So, and it's not that I'm not engaged. I don't know what happens, but I'm reading and then all of a sudden I wake up and I've got to try and find where I was up to again. But I try and just go chapter at a time and take a bit of time after that to sort of sink in the parts that I thought were great, and maybe even reread those sections just to make sure it stays with me. I could highlight them, but I don't know that that would stick with me either. I think just going through it and then going back and rereading the little bits that I liked, and that's probably what takes me so long to get through a book.
But that's okay too. Like, it doesn't really matter how long it takes. It matters that you're picking up the book in the first place. So yeah. You're spending time trying to find information and how it would potentially relate to you, in particular if it's not a basketball book per se. So this is more about people's personalities and the like. So how does this relate back to your coaching?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we've all dealt with it. We've all had an introverted athlete that we think for some reason is not engaged, or they're not interested, or they don't enjoy it, when actually they do. It's just not in their nature to be loud or extroverted or boisterous. So, you know, being able to spot somebody that is genuinely disinterested versus someone who's simply an introvert.
Excellent. Any tips so far that you've picked up on the book?
Yeah. The one so far about the changing culture from, it was a society of culture, and now we're a society of personality, which was a big thing, and recognizing that. So not getting sucked in by the salesman type society of the way that we see that everyone needs to be, you need to be able to present a certain way and you need to be able to do these sort of things, which I actually didn't expect to pick up for me as a coach. Yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting.
That probably ties in fairly heavily with social media too. You know, people see the world that they want other people to be able to see rather than the world that they're actually going through. And this is probably a time where there'll be a lot of people putting on false fronts. Mm-hmm. I'm all good, when secretly they're actually probably struggling a little bit. So the ability to see through that is a really important one as well.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I have to use these words, it's a different time or an unprecedented time. So there's no right or wrong way to how we react to this. So it is really important to be able to not only check in with people and athletes and coaches and family and friends, and but also know what to look for, know the personality you're dealing with. Like, for instance, I hope you don't mind me saying this, edit it out if you don't, but you're an introvert, and sometimes it's really difficult to get how you're feeling out of you. And so being able to see through, I guess, the front of this is how the world expects me to portray myself, and actually get to the heart of the personality of the person that you're speaking to, I think is important in all walks of life.
Yeah, so it's really good that I have a podcast that I have to continually talk on, but, you know, different problem altogether. But is there anything else that you're watching at the moment?
Well, yes, nothing in terms of, like, documentaries or anything like that. I am watching a lot more EuroLeague games. I'm fascinated especially by Spanish basketball, but EuroLeague basketball in general. Trying to pick up ways on things that I see that I like, and isolating that play phase or that possession, and then trying to create drills or game approach drills for our athletes to be able to recreate that. So trying to instill a little bit more flair and a little bit more fun and decision making into our athletes.
Excellent. What are some of the big things you've seen come out of those EuroLeague games?
Passing. is huge. They have an innate ability to be able to play within congestion and make big plays safe, and more importantly, safe plays with when they're surrounded by people. And we don't really seem to have that, even at their junior levels. So when we were in Europe last year, and we went and watched an under 16 boys tournament, and they didn't run any offense. It was literally catch, can I make a play? No, kick it on. And they just moved off the ball, and they knew where each other were. But when feet got in the paint and defense collapsed, they knew how to play off 2 feet. They knew where everybody was. But more importantly, they had the ability to make that pass. So passing for me, and the creativity off that passing, is probably a really big standout. And the way their coaches also interacted with their kids, in when they tried to make those passes or tried to make those plays, even with, you know, adaptive finishing or whatever it might be, their reaction was really important. So I couldn't understand what they were saying, but from their body language, it looked like it was championing the idea, and which is something I'm pretty big on. So trying to draw out as much as I can and pass it on to our athletes.
Excellent. What are you listening to at the moment?
I'm sounding really lazy. I'm not really listening. Actually, I didn't realise when we bought our Sonos system that that was so every room in the house could have Talking Split played 24/7.
Loop.
On continuous
Lots
loop.
Lots of downloads. everyone in Victoria is doing the same thing at the moment. I have an iPad, I have a phone, I have a desktop. Every one of them plays 24/7 on Talking Split. Those download numbers are looking fantastic.
Okay. But no, I'm saving up some podcasts for when we're actually back on the road. For me at the moment, I'm missing being able to be in the car. I normally listen to my podcasts in the car, but then I'm really sort of missing having music and just being able to sing and act like an idiot when I'm driving out to the country. So I'm mainly just listening to music at the moment, because I'm focusing on a little bit of a project, which you, I don't know if that's going to – I'll share that if that comes up. But I want to spend my time focusing on that. So it's more just music to be able to have a be a little bit of a release and act like a bit of an idiot for a couple of minutes, and then, yeah, get back to what I was doing.
New music or music from the heyday?
Oh, it's a nice it's a combination. There's a bit of Elton John in there.
Yep.
No question. Rocket Man. But not actual Elton John. from the movie.
Gotcha.
That is a ripper album.
Yes, and I can attest to this. It is playing fairly regularly in the house. It even kicks Talking Split off the speakers every now and again.
No, but there is a change. There's some 90s R&B. There's some old school. There's a bit of new stuff. So, yeah, it changes and it depends on the mood. There might be a bit of Offspring if I'm feeling a bit angry.
Self-esteem, great track. Is there anything that you're spending some time on for professional development?
Yeah, so this little project, I guess, that I'm putting together, it's for me. I'm basically creating my Bible, fast drawing all my drills. So I've been doing a bit of been doing a bit of reading on games approach to learning and or teaching and learning, and I'm a really big believer in a games approach. Strategy is a really good way to go, and I'm not saying your whole session has to be games, but you know, if we can get to a point where at least 80% of your session is games, I think it'll go a long way in retaining athletes and helping them develop. But so basically I'm putting all my drills down in what I would run in sessions, all my games approach drills and small-sided games. Then I'm looking into where the holes are for skill development. So if I have nothing that works on, say, footwork in particular, then, trying to research or investigate and try or even make up some drills that then cover that. So I have basically a Bible of drills that are all games approach that cover every single element of the game. So, you know, form shooting is always going to be form shooting, and it needs to be when you're talking, especially for your very young athletes. You need to take the time to go through those steps, but then trying to find something that still focuses on that but is in a bit more of a game situation, so to keep it fresh and to keep it enjoyable. Because I've also been reading a little bit on, and I've heard you say it a lot, you've said it in the pod before as well, about trying to make games like, or trainings like video games. Making sure each drill has a level up and, you know, a mission and all these sort of things. So, yeah, it doesn't sound like much, but it's taking a bit of time. That's my PD for me in my own time.
Excellent. And you don't realise how much you know until you have to try and write it all down.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it takes forever to get the admin sort of stuff done, but now's as good a time as any to get it done. Any advice for people that are going through lockdown at the moment?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's probably been said a million times before, but, you know, we say it to the athletes. We spend a lot of time looking after everybody else as coaches, and we rarely take the time to look after ourselves. But to be able to look after others, we have to look after ourselves. So, you know, if you're feeling ordinary one day, that's okay. It's okay to be, you know, I guess overwhelmed by all of this stuff or angry at all of this stuff or upset by the fact that you're restricted on things, and that is okay. But if it gets to a point where it's starting to really take over your life and your mood, you have to reach out to somebody, and everybody's in the same boat. I've had days where I've been particularly down and just kind of over this whole situation, but reaching out is actually a sign of strength. It's definitely not a weakness. And I think the way society looks at people that do reach out and ask for help sometimes can come off as if, you know, we've always been known as the Aussie battler and we can get through anything. But if we reach out, people are more than willing to help, and then we will then have the ability to help others. And I think that's the most important thing throughout this time. Like, if you want to take time to, you know, do some PD or whatever it is, that's great. If you don't, that's fine too. If you just need to take some time to relax and be around your family and, you know, just get yourself right, that's totally fine too. So, but if you do want to throw yourself into PD, some people are task oriented and need to keep themselves distracted. Please reach out to us and we can help with some things or whatever you're looking for, or even more recommendations on some stuff that you can do.
Excellent. Big thanks for jumping in once again. I'll let you go. You can drive off somewhere. So big thanks to all our performance coaches for jumping in there. Hopefully that's a whole range of resources that our coaches will be able to try and tap into and help pass the time in a positive manner. Obviously, we want to get back on court with our athletes, but hopefully if we can do some upskilling in this time as well, it'll really help us get back on court and do the best thing by our athletes. So as a reminder, here's what we'd love you to provide if you're able to do so. Your name and your club and association. What are you reading at the moment? What are you watching at the moment? What are you listening to at the moment? And what are you doing for your own professional development? So you can submit these just via my email address, so rob.calder@basketballvictoria.com.au, or via the direct mentions on Twitter, and I'll happily pick up the file from there. Or I can just grab a quick Zoom with someone. It'll only take maybe 5 minutes to get through all this sort of stuff, and we'll collate this and all together. So anyone that we do put on the podcast, I should mention, we'll send out a small gift just as a little bit of thanks for jumping into the podcast as well. So hopefully we get a whole range of submissions, and we can send this out to the coaching network as we do all the time. So similar to last week, any coaches that want to continue these conversations or talk a little bit more about it, you can do so via the hashtag Talking Splits, or you can jump into the comments on obviously Facebook. What we want to do is obviously try and use this time where we're not able to be on court, but try and use it for as good as much as we possibly can, and try and excel and really improve everyone along the way. So if there are any topics you would like discussed over the next few weeks, by all means reach out on Twitter and we can look into doing that for you. Other than that, thanks very much for talking split with us. Stay safe, everyone. Stay healthy, and hopefully we will be back on court soon.